Pastor, once again, for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share God's word with the church. Before I share the Bible reading, I would rather announce or mention my name, Akimu Mulaisho. As you have heard, Mulaisho will be difficult for you to explain, but you try by all means. By the end of tomorrow, you might get there. But I said it again, you will not offend me if you mispronounce the name. Just feel free to call me Akim or Akim. It's fine. Please, it's fine. So it's not a big deal. Akim Mulaisho come from the family of seven, five brothers and two sisters. I am the fourth born child of Mr. Abson Mulaisho, was my daddy's late now. He had two wives. I'm coming from the first wife. Rose is my mother. She's still living right now. Growing up in this family, it was a challenge because dad had two wives, and from our side, he had seven kids. And from the other side, he didn't have any child in that woman, but had to find five more. You call them here stepchildren. Is it stepchildren or stepsons? Things like that. So we were growing together. So it was difficult because he was not providing. I didn't see that husband-wife provision to the wife. I didn't see the love of a husband to my mother. I didn't see the dad spending time with the children in that home. That was not the environment. I grew up in a difficult environment where we could stay a week without food. Our food was just like you go in the bush, you find some fruits that you can eat, you gather with brothers, you take home, you eat. There, days goes by. That's where I'm coming from. Zambia is divided into three parts. Others are doing very well. Others are workers in mines, in all that. If you come to Zambia, you'll find others are driving nice cars, expensive cars. Others also are doing fine, but they are not that fine. But the other part, people are still in poverty. That's where I minister and that's where I come from. I'm not coming to a good Zambia part, I'm coming to the west part of Zambia, where our roads are terrible, things are, for you to buy something, you have to go to town. It will take you maybe an hour to reach town, and then you go there, you find it, you come back where you live. So growing up in that family, from grade 1 to grade 7, had no shoes. I was just going to school, you know, walking from a distance we measure in kilometers, you measure in miles, so it would be difficult for me to, but I'll say a 2 hours walk going and a 2 hours back coming every day, Monday to Friday. So that was my life, and it was normal. And when it is hot in Africa, as kids, what we used to do, you just go, you know, bush is the material. You get the leaves, most of them, you find a fiber or anything, then you tie under your foot. Then you use them because the soil is hot. It is hot. So you use them. It won't take another hour. The leaves are gone already. So it will be like two to three times changing of those leaves when you tie them. So you might think, do that exist? It is there. So that's the life I grew up in. And grade 7, I went to Church Secondary School, where I had good marks, and also I joined a school team, which we had soccer. We have soccer in Africa. It's big. Soccer in Africa is the best sport. So when I started playing soccer in that school team, I was spotted, I had good skills, so I was put into the, you know, school team. So I was playing with the grade 12 and grade 8. Then immediately they saw me, they gave me a free scholarship because I just went to school without paying anything. So they were saying, like, you have to pay by the end of this month. So immediately I played soccer that time. They said, okay, don't worry about paying. So you have gotten a scholarship. So you'll be playing for us. Then you don't have to pay school fees. The more I was scoring goals, the more they were buying me shoes, spare uniform, and extra food. That was good. Because, you know, my mom and dad didn't have even money to pay for school fees. So God provided a way by gifting me with that skill of playing soccer. I was very good, but I can't play like I used to play because I'm getting old now. And and I've 3 months in, or 3 weeks in States, so it's like my belly is coming out because of the food. Your food is very good here. So going back to the testimony, that kind of helped me push all the way to grade 12. So I am the only person who has finished school in my family, the only. My mother doesn't know how to read. My brothers and my sisters doesn't know. On my immediate brother, Kephas, who's struggling, but he's going back to the school that we have started at the college because he works, he's also a servant of God. So when I finished my education in 1997, I was spotted because when you're at school, you go to play soccer with other, you know, schools, like tournaments like that. So I was exposed in town. To go in town, you play soccer, you come back, you go with different schools. So the other people saw me, and then they called 500 people for the trials. They call trials where they spot people to select to go to the national team. Of the 500, they only picked 10. And of the 10, I was among those who were picked. So God was like, you know, opened that door just for me. I knew it. I was going to change my family's life and the situation. Everyone was happy. Mom was very happy. By that time, Dad died like after 4 years. So it was like I was almost becoming like a breadwinner in the family. So my brother said, okay, now, at least now, we can breathe because you'll be making money. Immediately you go to the national team, you are good because they'll pay you. From there, you start playing with, you know, international players. You come to Europe, wherever you can go, you make money. I have my brother here who's from Nigeria. You know how soccer is. I remember those times we used to see Daniel Amokachi. So this time there are young guys who are coming up. So those were good days. Yeah, so I can remember well the Nigerian team because we played to them and we lost. And I was not in that game. So I knew it. If I was in that game, we would have, you know, beaten them. Okay, that is the part of soccer. Now, going to that contract which I was awarded with 10 guys, I went back home on 4th June 1998. That was the last day I picked all my belongings to go to that contract. And that Sunday, I knew there was a missionary from States who was ministering there, the people in that church announced that, oh, there will be a missionary who come to preach. So I said, okay, let me go there. Not necessarily to hear the gospel, but to go that after church, I'll ask a ride, because it is not, you can't see any vehicle. When the missionary comes with the vehicle, that's the only chance. If you want to go, just ask a ride. So I said, okay, I'll go pretend as if I'm going to church with my bag ready to go. So when I went Sunday, I started preaching. When I started preaching, I had to hide my bag behind the church, because I wanted people not to see my bag, because they were saying, oh, he doesn't even come to church. Why has he come? So when I was there, sitting quietly listening, started preaching about the gospel. And quite well, I remember how he started in Matthew chapter 16, verses 26, where he says, how can a man gain the whole world? I'm just paraphrasing that. How can a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? So he started preaching about how people spend their time pursuing riches, pursuing wealth, these worldly things, just to enrich themselves. And he said, there is no happiness. If you don't have Christ, you are doomed, and you die, you go to hell. Then he brought a issue of Romans chapter 3. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. By that time, I was trying to be nice to my mom, because she didn't have a good time with the husband. So I was trying to obey mom, pleasing her, and also trying to be nice to her. I was thinking I was okay, I wasn't that too bad. Okay, there are people whom you can point and say, ah, that one is me, I'm at least. Yeah, so things like that. So I was saying, I'm not that bad a sinner, but I'm at least better than other guys, because you know at a soccer, it requires discipline, and you don't have to drinking or doing anything. You have to be healthy, fit as a player. So when he started saying, you are all sinners, and then there is a wages for sin. You pay if you not accept Christ, but if you accept Christ, he has already paid for you. So he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At first I was upset with it, but lastly I heard something like saying, you know, you are not right. Make it right with your master. After the invitation, during that, I had to find myself up, kneeling down, asking God to change my life. So I invited Christ to be my personal savior that day. From that day, life didn't change. It was still the same. But the peace I was feeling inside, it was the peace that I'm still feeling right now, that I don't regret serving the Lord because of what he did. So right there after service, he encourages me. His name is Timothy Sivet. He is back. I don't know where he is right now. I wish I can meet him and thank him because God used him mightily on that day for me. After the service, he encourages me to continue, then to pray. Since I was new, he encouraged me to read the book of John, because of I am a new believer. So he said, if you want to be disciples, I'm available. You'll be coming. I'll be encouraging you. So I said, okay. I didn't promise him anything, but I was like fighting inside. Should I go or remain? But it's like I had that peace which said, now I want to serve the Lord. That's all. So he left. Then my mom was asking, are you not going? I said, no, I'm not feeling well. I lied to my mom because I didn't want her to be, you know, crying at church. So when we went home, people were starting asking, you are not going? I said, no, I'm not feeling well. Until the next day, that's when I told mom, I'm not going. I've decided to, you know, doing God's work. So it was like a bad news to her. I wish I didn't tell her. She cried. She couldn't talk to me almost a month. So my friends were thinking, some of my friends, they said, you know, let's go to him. We take him to the hospital because he's not in the right mind. They were thinking I'm crazy or something has happened to me. And in Africa, they said, you know, someone has bewitched, meaning someone with powers disturbed my mind. So I'm not thinking right. So I said, I am okay. What has happened to me now, I cannot explain to you, but I'm feeling good. And I'm feeling the joy of serving God. Some were saying, oh, you think you can make money in serving God. Said, I don't care now. All I'm saying is God wants to use me. That's all. So it was a hard period of trying to explain to the people what God did in my life. But it didn't make sense to the people. But my word of encouragement to you, whenever God will change your life, people will not be happy with you. And sometimes you stand alone. Families were not with me in the decision that I made. It was hard. After that, I continued serving the Lord, though it was hard. Then 1999, I saw this beautiful girl came from town to our seat, to our bush. She joined church. I was very active, involved, being with the pastor, asking questions, learning. So the pastor had to invite me to be learning with him, and then he had to put me in charge of the youth choir. And then I saw this girl, beautiful, came. She said, okay, do you have someone in your life? And we get together for 2 years. I married her with a beautiful wedding. That's my wife right now. So we have 5 children, still serving the Lord. With that decision, I'm very happy because my immediate brother is a pastor also, serving the Lord, because I started now preaching to my family, my mom, how God has done it to my life. My sister also, my young sister, she's a faithful Christian. She's married to the pastor again. So God has done a lot in my life through that. So that's how Pastor Dave came, started working with me. He saw that there is a seed, helped me, encouraged me, you know, paid for the school, went to college for 4 years, finished in the same 4 years. There was another door which the college said, no, there is another thing you can do with Piedmont. I started online, finished. There I am today. I graduated on Friday with a master's program. That is just a paper, but God started something big with me to do his work. My coming here is just to say thank you for supporting mission, because I am the product of what you support in Africa. So don't be discouraged. There could be some other people who can discourage you, but God is working, and you have seen me, and I'll still serve him until I die. Right now I'm staying with my mom. She's happy, and now she's saying, it's good, my son, you decided Christ. I thank God for that. Can we go to the word of God? How much time do I have, Pastor? God is good. Because I've explained so much, let me go to the scripture that encourages me how the gospel has power to change our lives and to change everything that we can't change by our own strength. I'm compelled to see the book of Romans chapter 1 verses 16. Here we are going to find the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor, a murderer, a killer, God changing him to be the vessel of honor. My reading this morning is taken from chapter 1 verses 16, where the Apostle Paul is saying, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for loving us, even by dying the terrible death, because you thought of me. What else can we do? Thank you, God, for loving us so much. Now is the time that you want to speak to us. Use me as your vessel. Praise you, I honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I sing a song for you?
Mushilomo njenda ineta mwabo mutende Nangeni uluselwe nune nshilea chine Machusho na malanda fionse fika lawa Tukava mumusumba jelusa lema Mushilomo njenda ineta mwabo mutende Nangeni uluselwe nune nshilea chine Machusho na malanda fionse kalawa Tukawa mumusumba Jerusalema.
Amen. That song was talking about no matter what we go through, but we are going to one place, a beautiful place, which is heaven. Amen. That is just a small part. It is long. I'll sing for you tomorrow. Our Bible reading, the Apostle Paul here is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because he's not ashamed of the gospel, we would wonder why he's not ashamed of the gospel. And he has continued explaining that. He has given us three reasons in this verse why he's not ashamed of the gospel. The first reason we see in this verse, it is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is, the gospel of Christ is not ashamed, the source of the gospel or the origin of the gospel is not ashamed because of that. That is first point. My second point, it is, for it is power of God. Is not ashamed of the gospel, not only of its source or from where it is coming from Christ, but the power it has. He's saying, for it is the power of God. The last one will be, because it is the power of God, the fruit of the gospel, salvation. It brings salvation to the people. So Paul is telling, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of its source, that's the origin of the gospel. Two, the power of the gospel. Three, that comes, or the outcome of the gospel, the fruit of it, salvation to everyone. So let me now explain all these things. Paul here is eager to go to preach the gospel to Rome. And we know Rome had power over the all known conquered world. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, even if Rome had power. But when we come here, could there be anything that can cause you to be ashamed of the gospel? Let's think about that. If he's saying, I'm not ashamed, can there be anything that can make you and me ashamed of the gospel? Can there anything cause Paul to be ashamed of the gospel? If there is any, what is that? Let me suggest to you this. Paul knew the gospel because it is saying it is the gospel of Christ. And who is Christ when Paul is writing this letter? When he's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel coming to preach to Rome, he knows that the gospel is centering at Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, that time, was considered to be a criminal because he was crucified. And the crucifixion was a waste form of killing done only to a criminal. Not even a Roman was allowed to be crucified, but only thieves. And Paul, even if Jesus Christ was crucified as a criminal, as a thief, and to make the matters worse, not alone, but with other two thieves, meaning he was condemned badly. If you are the one carrying that message to your friend, I'm bringing this message to you, the first thing should be, are you happy with the message you are carrying? Paul was saying, even if Jesus was considered to be a criminal, died crucified as if he was a wrong person, I'm not ashamed to preach that gospel. I'm coming to you, to the people who are at Rome, to preach this Jesus Christ, who was once crucified as a criminal. But that doesn't ashamed me. That doesn't make me, you know, worry about that. Though people in Rome, you know, underrated Christians, and the message of Christianity was coming from a simple city, Jerusalem, which was conquered by Rome, Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed. Because this gospel has its source. That's why he's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not because Jesus was just considered to be a criminal, but to Paul he was saying, he is my savior. That's why I'm not ashamed to come to you and proclaim this message. He's saying it is coming from Jesus Christ. If we go back into the text, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is coming from Christ. It is the gospel about Christ. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1, verses 1. On top there, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of what? Of God. Not only the gospel is of Christ, it is the gospel of God. So, meaning, Christ and God, they are one and the same. So how can Paul be ashamed of the message which is coming from God? Because it is the message that has power. It is the message that is coming from higher authority. It is the message that is coming from God himself. If God was not ashamed of me, how can I be ashamed of him? To share what he has done about my life. If God was not ashamed, why? No wonder Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is from God who created everything with his word. He made Paul and he made every one of us here. How can we be ashamed of the gospel? Brethren, if God has given you the message, if God has given you something to share, don't be ashamed. Because it is God who's telling you to do his work. It is from him who is higher than anyone else. It is who has allowed you and me to exist. How can we be ashamed of him? There are many times that we are ashamed of sharing the gospel. People around, at work, our brethren, our relatives, sometimes we keep the message to ourselves. You might say, how am I ashamed of the gospel? Because we do not share what Christ has done in our lives. The way we walk, the way we move, the way we talk, as if Christ have done nothing to us. Why are we ashamed of speaking and standing for God if he has saved us? The message is coming from God. How can Paul be ashamed? The message is coming from God. How can we be ashamed if we are children of God? If one of you were given a message coming from your president here, president from the White House, anyone who say, oh, I'm going to represent him. Because you know it is coming from the president. You know it carries power and authority. It has privileges. And everyone will want to represent the president. But not everybody is willing to present our mighty God. We might say we are saved, but most of the time, we are afraid to share with our friends what God has done. Maybe God has called you to do anything. I'm encouraging you, do not be ashamed to stand for him, because he's looking for people who can stand for him, no matter what happened to him, no matter how he was crucified, but he did that for us. Not only the message has centered on Christ or is from God, we find that the message has power. The operation of the message. Romans, the same verse, it is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I'll end there now. Let me explain that. The message is the power of God. God doesn't use anything apart from his word. There are people in Africa who are preaching about prosperity gospel. Come and Jesus will give you healthy, wealthy, you'll be rich, you'll be doing this. But that was not the intention of God coming. His power is to deliver us from our sinful nature. Not to give us money, not to bless us with things, but to deliver us from all our unrighteousness. It only takes God's power to do that. Because man cannot change me, neither can man change you. But the power of God can change all of us here. No wonder we are sitting here, because it is the power of God that transformed our lives. Because if you look back, some of you can explain, or you can't even explain, or you can't even tell your friend what you were doing, what you went through, how terrible you were. But the power of God have changed you. That's the proper way of explaining the power of the gospel. It is because God has power. That's why we are kept alive. It is because God loves us. That's why he has allowed this day to come. If we go back, let's see. God has invested his power in his word. The book of Jeremiah, chapter, because of time, we won't go there. Chapter 23, verses 26, 29, it says, is not my word like fire that burns things? In Africa, we have bush. When it is dry, when you just set fire on something, it will go forever. If you are not careful, if you see our houses, you just start removing your properties out. Because when it comes, it comes. There is no water that can quench it. It is fire. But God is picturing his word, the powerfulness of fire, that is not my word like Fire is not my word like hammer, the hammer that breaks rocks, meaning the powerness which God has invested in his word. Not only in the New Testament it is described, but we find that in the New Testament also. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 12, the Bible says, my word is quicker, more powerful than any two-edged sword. That's the powerfulness of his word. So Paul, knowing this, the power of the gospel, no wonder he was not ashamed. Because he said it is from God and it has power. It can penetrate and cut any that doesn't please God. How can I be ashamed? I am not ashamed because it has power. It can change people's lives. And you know what he was thinking? Paul was a murderer and he was killing. He was in his journey to go and kill, arrest Christians. But what happened? The power of God changed him. And he started preaching the same gospel. No wonder he's saying, I'm not ashamed, because I was one of the people who was killing Christians. But now I know it is from God. It has power. Why should I be ashamed of the gospel? Lastly, the fruit that comes from the gospel. I said in my testimony, salvation to everyone. Whether you are in America, whether you are in Africa, this is the fruit. I am part of the fruit. Someone preached the gospel to me. It had power to change my life. And here I am to serve the Lord. That's what is hard about the gospel. Because it is from God. God has intentionally, you know, given us this gospel to preach so that it can change people's lives. Let me say this. How often do we share the gospel? Do we know it is from God? Do we know it has power to change every area in our lives? Any drug addict, any alcoholic, any behavior, any situation, there is no other thing that we can use to change people. It is just by preaching the gospel. What comes out is best. I like when he says to everyone that believe, meaning everyone, big, small, bad, worse people, criminals, evildoers, doesn't mean you are a black person, white person, or somewhere from somewhere. The gospel brings us to be one in Christ. To everyone who believes, it does not segregate, because Christ died for everybody. And it is now entrusted to us to share this gospel. The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you involved in sharing the gospel? Are you part of that? You can do two or three things. One, pray for the people who are sharing the gospel, and support the people who are sharing the gospel, and encourage the people who are sharing the gospel. May God help us to be not ashamed of the gospel. May God help us. Because if we go back, maybe you can read this for your own time. Chapter 1, verses 14. He has mentioned three I ams. I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15. So as I, much as in me is, I am ready. I am a debtor. I am ready. I'm not ashamed. This word, I'm a debtor, it's a financial term, which I cannot explain well because I've never done business. But I can explain it what Paul meant. Paul said, I'm a debtor because you can owe a person in two ways. I can borrow money from you or from the pastor, and I'm obligated to pay him back. I owe him something I have to pay back. But that is not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, if the pastor here gives me money so that I can pay this person here, meaning I am a debtor here. I owe him, since I have that money, I also owe him here. So Paul is saying, God, this is a picture, I'm not saying the pastor is God. God gave him the message, meaning he's owing God. And God is saying, take that message to go and preach it to Rome. So he's owing the people to Rome. It is now up to him to go, meaning those people, they will die if you will not go there. So he owes God and he owes the people there. That's where we are. God has given us the gospel. If we are not going to share, if we are not going to preach, guess what? We owe God and we owe the people who are waiting to hear the gospel that has been entrusted in our lives. And God is trusting you not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is from God. It has power which brings salvation to everyone that believes. May God bless all. Amen.